I'm Danielle Moretti Langholz, the American Indian Resource Center. Welcome, Bruce.
Thank you very much, Danielle.
I'm Buck Woodard with the American Indian Resource Center of the College of William and Mary, and today we're here with Bruce Berryhill, Muscogee Creek Nation, Oklahoma. As a Native person, how have you been able to incorporate a storytelling from a Native perspective into the production of film and television? Because that's what you do. And how did you come to be in that position where you were able to take a Native background and then interpret it for the modern world, for this media?
That's a very good question, Buck. Let me take you on a little journey back in time, and really the important things to remember here is that I was raised by a father who was born on the reservation. My grandfather was Nalati from the Creek Nation. That means that he is on the Dawes rolls. But my father, as many Indian people, left the reservation during World War II out of shame for being Indian. So he left the reservation and turned his back on his culture, drifted into the white world, drifted into the world, into the general population. So I was raised as a Caucasian person because I'm light skinned, but father always, there was always a family joke about, well, you know, we have some Native Americans in a Native blood. And a lot of people say that we have some Native blood. I remember to this day, when I was 35 years old, my father brought me into the den and had this secret that he had to tell me. It had whelmed up in him. He had to say it. And I remember how he started. Remember how we always laugh, he said, about how we have Native blood in us. And I said, yeah, and we always talk about it at family reunions. He said, well, actually, you have a lot more than you know. And he began this story. And in telling me the story about growing up on the reservation, about being the son of a white woman married to an Indian person. Now remember, in this time, this was very difficult. There was a lot of prejudice. And when you live in the little town that they lived in Coweta, was on the edge of the reservation, and many Indian people know that if you want to see hatred amongst races, go to a reservation town and go to the fringes of that town. You'll see all kinds of prejudice. You'll see all kinds of problems. My father grew up in this environment. So when he was old enough, he left for World War II and completely shut out that part of his life.
So Coweta is in Oklahoma.
Coweta is in Oklahoma, near Broken Arrow. It is one of the, Coweta is also an old Creek town. So a lot of the Creek towns, remember, Broken Arrow, a lot of these towns were genesis right in the Alabama area, Alabama, Georgia area. The old Creek Nation, from the times that they were removed, the Creek people brought their culture with them. Now, my family came on the Trail of Tears. We were with the McIntosh Party. We have family members who were from the McIntosh clan. You know, a lot of Native people, you know, the clans intermarried, and a lot of people were intermixed. But we were with the McIntosh group. Actually, some of my relatives fought in the Civil War in the McIntosh regiment. Mm. So there was a tremendous amount of bringing from the old country to the new. In looking at my father and growing up in a reservation town, I cannot imagine the things he must have endured being a mixed blood. A lot of Indian people understand this, but until you've stood in those shoes, you cannot really understand it. I do not really understand it because I was not raised in that. I'm enough Caucasian looking that I was raised in a completely different environment. So this meeting between my father and I completely changed my way of thinking. I remember going into this meeting, and I would always love to watch the Westerns on Saturday. We all do that, you know, the John Waynes, and they would go out and fight the wild Indians. And after this revelation, these wild Indians were my family. They were uncles and aunts and people that were a part of my blood that gave me, it filled in a lot of the ways I was raised. Now you understand, I was raised Caucasian in a Caucasian environment, but my father raised me with a lot of traditional values that are traditionally part of my culture that I didn't understand. So after this meeting with my father, I began to, my whole psyche changed. Suddenly the bellwether, suddenly the signpost, the guidepost, they were all moved around. Mm-hmm. Somebody took the signs and changed the arrows. Suddenly what pointed one way doesn't point that way anymore. It's a different direction. So I remember, Dad, what does this mean? And he began to just download, because it was in him. It was in his craw, I call it. It was stuck in his throat that it had to come out.
So you weren't living in Oklahoma.
Was not raised on the... My father was born on the reservation. We didn't know what that meant when he said that. Born on the reservation. What does that mean? The Old Creek Reservation. He was born on a land allotment for Albert Berryhill, Creek 2106 on the Dawes Rolls. We have land. Our family was given the allotment, different allotments. I still didn't know what that meant, but now all of this is swirling in my head. What does this mean? There's a whole part of me. It's like I've got a twin.
Mm.
There's a twin person that I don't know about.
And you were in California.
I was raised in California.
What part of California?
In Southern California. I was born in Worcester, Mass. My father had come back from World War II, met my mother at a USO dance, started dating her. I was born in the East, and we moved to the West when I was 2 months old.
Wow.
24 months, actually. Excuse me. I was raised in California, and I graduated from Camarillo High School in a completely different environment than I knew. I mean, so it was like being raised on Mars and then coming back to the Earth.
What was the next step after your father gave you this information, almost empowered you with, I mean, your ancestry?
Well, empowered is really a good term, because it's more than empowerment. It's an enlightenment. It's suddenly there were rooms that this one meeting opened these rooms up that I knew were there, but I didn't know what they meant.
And unlocked the doors for you.
Unlocked the doors.
And suddenly it made so much more sense about why things had happened the way they had happened before. And now gaps were filled in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, now here I am, one person raised one way, but with a lot of questions. And now there's all these things, there's all these traditions, there's all these people, there's all these ancestors. Mm. You know, the person you see sitting here today is a family. I am with my family today. They're here with me. My family is who I am. I carry them inside of me. I carry them with me. And when my father gave me that, you understand, he didn't just empower me. He gave me my family, because I didn't know who my family was. I knew I had aunts and uncles that lived in where the reservation was, but I didn't know what that meant. And now as I began to do research, then I found out what it meant. And it was staggering to me. Mm. It completely changed who I was. And I remember that, and I said this earlier in our conversation, I remember the next Saturday looking at the cowboy and Indian shows, and it had been completely changed. Suddenly, manifest destiny was not a word. It had a meaning, and it had a real meaning to me, because my family were directly impacted by manifest destiny.